Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Superman Sunday episode, and I'm actually going to be talking about an issue of Supergirl today. It's Supergirl number 21. We give the creative team really quickly here. It's written by Mark Andraco. We've got pencils by Kevin McGuire, inks by Sean Parsons, colors by FCO Placencia, and letters by Tom Napolitano. So the reason I decided to talk about a Supergirl book today, first of all, is because this book is amazing. It's so good. It's The Killers of Krypton Part 1. And you'll see as I go through the synopsis how much of this story ties into what happened in Brian Michael Bendis' Man of Steel. So when Bendis got announced as taking over the Superman books, all the rest of the Superman family of books got, well, we thought they got canceled. They weren't solicited anymore. And that included Supergirl and also the Super Sons book. Well, what we found is they both went on hiatus. And The Adventures of the Super Sons has returned as a 12-issue limited series. And Supergirl, from what we can tell, has returned as an ongoing. So it just had a period of time where it wasn't being published. But now it's back. And as I said, it ties in very closely with the events of Brian Michael Bendis' Superman Man of Steel series. So it's basically Kara out there in the galaxy looking for answers about Rogel Zar, the villain of Brian Michael Bendis' Superman Man of Steel. And she wants to know the truth of the claims that he's made about being responsible for the destruction of Krypton. She wants to know what really happened, and so she decides that she has to find the answer. She doesn't really have a choice. And the issue starts off with an amazing cover by Terry Dodson, and part of what had me so excited about these the return of Supergirl and the stories that are going to be told by Andraco, McGuire, Parsons and Placencia was the look of Supergirl. You know, she's going to be out there traversing the galaxy. She may not always be in the vicinity of a yellow sun, so she's going to have to take steps to make sure that she retains her powers. And so there were a bunch of new costumes designed. And when I saw those costumes, they were very striking to me. And I was like, oh, those costumes look really cool. Like, what's going on? And then I read the synopsis for the story, and I was like, wow, that's something that sounds really interesting. And then having read the Man of Steel series, I'm right there with Kara. I want some answers too, right? So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to pick up the book. I hadn't previously been reading Supergirl since it first got launched with Rebirth when Steve Orlando was handling it. So I was like, let me jump back into Supergirl with this new issue 21 and see what's going on. And the issue was amazing. And so I thought, you know, I should cover this on Superman Sunday because it ties so closely into the Bendis books that we're covering. So let me go ahead and dive right into the synopsis. I should also say there's a really cool variant cover from Amanda Connor where Supergirl Kara has her arm around Krypto, and he's given her a lick on the cheek. That's pretty cool as well. So it starts off, Kara's saying, bad things happen to good people. Time heals all wounds. Earthlings love their tidy aphorisms. Trouble is that life is rarely tidy. And in the background of this dialogue, we see the ship that Kara used to escape Krypton, hugging her parents and leaving them behind. We see the ship leave the planet, and in the background, among the stars, we see kind of superimposed there Rogal Zar's face. We see the ship then crash on Earth. As Laura continues her musings, life is complicated, messy, has a high body count. We box up our pain, we ignore it, we try to move on. Try being the operative word. She says, we may not even get a moment's peace until something comes along. Something that rips off the scab and sends all the old pain surging back. So that's to her what Rogel Zar has been, right? And it makes her angry. And she even says her something that, you know, that ripped off that scab is Rogel Zar, his bloodlust for her planet. And she's flashing back to meeting Rogel Zar for the first time when he says, I'll destroy you. like I did your whole rancid planet Krypton and you know, Kara's reaction to that. And not only that, not only did he destroy her whole planet, remember, he destroyed the bottled city of Kandor in that miniseries as well. So kind of Kara's last link to Krypton, other than her cousin, Kal-El, Superman. And, you know, that's devastating. I was bothered by that. I was like, why, Bendis? Why are you destroying, you know? She's putting the blame on Rogozar, obviously, in story reason. I'm putting the blame on Bendis. Like, why? Why would you destroy Kandor? Those people did nothing to you. Anyway, Kara furthers thinking about the fact that she's so scared, she feels like a little girl again, who watched everyone she knew die. And so she's there at Kal-El's fortress, or what's left of it anyway, the last place that feels like home. But just like Krypton, it's also destroyed. It's like it was a place of reflection, of memory, you know, somewhere she could go and see the bottled city. And now it's just another place of grief. So then we flash back to earlier in Smallville, Kansas. She's sitting on top of a haystack with Superman floating in the sky behind her. And of course, she senses he's there and says hello. And Superman, Kal-El, he's worried about her. He's asking how she is. And Kara's response is, that's not a question that you want answered. And Superman says, no, it's not. And she says, and this isn't the answer you'll want either. I'm still leaving. I have to. You know, we face so much evil, so many liars. I need the truth. Did Zar do it? And if he did, who knew and who helped him? Who murdered my friends and family? And Superman tries to reason with her, saying, I know you want answers, but flying off into the distant corners of the galaxy by yourself, you know, that's not a solution. That's not safe. And Kara's like, and what would your solution be, Kal? You know, I watched our planet die. I heard the screams, an entire planet. Do you know what that's like? No, your life started here on Earth. For you, Krypton is something that's theoretical, right? Earth actually is your home. But don't forget, cousin, technically I grew up on Krypton. I'm older than you. For you, this farm, your parents, your wife, your child, all your earliest memories, they're all of Earth. You were born on Krypton, but you grew up on Earth. But for me, I lived there. Years of memories. People I loved, people that I laughed with, daydreamed, and they're all dead. You can never understand that kind of loss, right? Like, no matter how much you think you can, Kal, you just don't. Their perspective is different. She says, I need to deal with all this grief before I go insane. You understand that, right? And Superman says, yes, I do. And I want everyone involved in Krypton's destruction to face justice so we can figure this out together. You're still so raw from, you know, finding this out. Take a breath. And also forgive yourself. Stop feeling that survivor's guilt. You honor all of those lost every day with what you do. And you've made this world a better place. And you can see Kara, she kind of struggles with it. She says, Kal, you're such a good person, so sincere, so human. And we get an incredible series of panels from Kevin Maguire with a close-up of Kara's face, and you can see the emotion play across her face as she's thinking about it. She's really thinking maybe Kal is right. But in the end, she's resolved. She says, no, I love you, Kal, but no, you can't talk me out of this. Understand, I if you really love me, there is no other choice. I need to do this on my own. I need to find out what the truth is. So please, at least for now, goodbye. And she flies off. Next, we see her in National City. She's talking to Eliza. She's explaining that she's going to be gone for a while. Now, I wanted to tell you in person, but a lot's happened recently. I'm assuming you've heard. And I have to go away for a while. I'm leaving soon. I don't know when I'll be back, but I just wanted to say I love you. And so then she flies off to the former site of the Fortress of Solitude, where there's nothing left but destruction. And she's trying to psych herself up for it because she is worried. She knows she has to do this. She feels that strongly, but she knows it's dangerous. And she's thinking, okay, Kara, you got this. You're a strong, independent woman. Heck, you're a superhero. Cousin of the superhero. He must have rubbed off on you. And why else did you just use the word heck? But where to start, right? Like Batman always says, follow the clues. And she grabs Rogozar's staff, which has been wrapped up since they banished him to the Phantom Zone. And she's going to use that as a place to start, right? she's going to find out why he destroyed Krypton. So she takes the weapon. She actually goes to Coast City, where we see Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, finishing off the Royal Flush Gang. First time we've seen them in a while. And she asks Hal for his help. She's like, I need you to scan this weapon and search all the databases for the circle symbol and see what you can tell me. And Hal's like, you know, I did that for your cousin already, but it didn't show up in any of the records in the Guardian's archives. I'm sorry, but she says, please, can you do it again? And not just the circle symbol that that Cal had you search for, but the actual axe this time. Hal says, okay, you know, you've been through a lot. I guess I can help you out. Kara thanks him, and as they begin scanning, Hal's saying, just don't be surprised when nothing, and we see the ring. Scan complete, object identified, information redacted. And Hal's shocked. He's like, what? Meanwhile, 42 star systems away, we see a little alien-looking creature get an alert, access alert, access alert. He's like, what's that? Great moons of Inchala, no. There's been an attempted search of restricted files by a Green Lantern ring, Rogel Czar, firewall secure, no breach. And the little alien goes running off a Green Lantern. No, this is bad, 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 bad. After all these years, the circle must be informed, the circle in bold. Steel yourself, Hawkman, this will be unpleasant. Meanwhile, back on Earth, Hal's like, redacted, I've never had this happen before. And Kara's like, what does it mean? And Hal says, it means if I can't access that information and I'm me, like, why would that be? And to Kara, this is proof, right? That there's something going on. She says, I knew it. Czar can't just be a lone gunman, not to destroy an entire planet, my planet. And Hal says, you know, it's probably just a glitch. Mogo needs a new spam filter or something. And Kara's like, yeah, sure. And Hal, he's heard this kind of rage before. He's like, that barely bottled up rage, I sounded like that once right before I became Parallax and destroyed the Green Lantern Corps. Don't let the anger consume you, Kara. Search for justice, sure, but not revenge. That path is very difficult to return from. Trust me, I know. And if anybody would know, it's Hal Jordan. And Kara wraps up the axe and starts to fly off, saying, thanks for the help, Hal. As for your advice, I'll take it under your consideration. Or I'll take it under consideration, rather. So, yeah, again, is it revenge? She wants the truth. That's for sure. What she does with the information, though, may be more telling than anything else, if she's able to find it. So then we see her return to the Fortress of Solitude, thinking if the Guardian's records are locked down, that's a pretty big turn back sign. There must be some really big people, power players out there in the galaxy who don't want to be found. But I will get the answers no matter the danger, no matter the distance it takes me, or I'll die trying. And this is when we see her put on the first of her new costumes. She's saying to first stop Mogo, and the galaxy's a big place. I count on everything and everywhere having a yellow sun. So this solar suit collector will come in handy. And it's got a glowy emblem, which is pretty cool too. And we see on her chest the yellow is glowing. So she starts packing up the ship. It's very similar to the ship that she came to Earth in way back in the day. She's like, there are a few remaining artifacts from Krypton that can fit in a few boxes. This makes me the last living being who remembers my planet and people, and I'll not let them be forgotten. She packs up the axe of Rogel Czar as well. And then she hears, and it's Crypto. Crypto, what are you doing here? I'm so happy to see you too, boy, as Crypto jumps on her and starts licking. She's like, oh, but your breath, what have you been eating, toxic waste? And there's a little capsule around his collar, has a note in it, and she pulls it out, and it says, Kara, I couldn't leave things the way we did with John and Lois gone. I wanted you to stay because selfishly you're all I have left. I do understand you need to go, but I hope I know why I can't. But that doesn't mean you need to do it alone. Knowing Crypto is with you will give me a peace of mind. I know you don't mind the help, but I know you don't need the help. But humor your little cousin. May you find what you're looking for. Love, Cal. So, Kara, she gets a little choked up. Again, we see some really great emotional work here in these close-ups from Kevin Maguire. And Crypto whines a little as he sees Kara upset. And she says, "It's okay, buddy. It's a good cry. Say, you want to go on a trip?" And Crypto's barking. He's very excited. So they climb in the spacecraft, everyone on board. And next destination, MOGO. And she thinks, "I will find answers for you, Krypton, no matter where in the universe it takes me." Meanwhile, we see the little alien still chugging along here, huff, huff, huff. After all these years, no one has ever looked before. Why now? Why now? Why couldn't we let it stay in the past? If Lord Gandalo, if the circle is exposed, I cannot even begin. The intergalactic consequences would be disastrous. Krypton, the other casualties? No, I don't want to think about that. Be strong, present the facts, hope for the best. And he enters what looks to be like a throne room. Says, "My eternal master, I bring distressing news," but he already knows. "Yes, loyal Hakmon, I know Rogal Zar and his singular obsession, more trouble than he's ever been worth. If I knew where to find that fool, I'd end him myself." And Hakmon's response is, "But the lanterns are involved, and the Kryptonian girl, if she continues her search." And the response is, "Let her. There's no way she'll uncover all of the truth. And if she gets too close, well, what is another dead Kryptonian in the scheme of things?" And next issue, we see the blurb for it, Supergirl versus the Green Lantern Corps. So as I said, this ties very tightly into the whole Rogal Zar storyline and what the story Bendis told in the Man of Steel miniseries. But this definitely has a much different tone. It's much more focused. I really like the way Andrako has Supergirl's emotions so close to the surface, so obvious that she's been so greatly affected by Rogal Zar, the information she learned, and what happened in the pages of Man of Steel. And, you know, a perfect marriage of art with Maguire, Parsons, and Placencia to deliver beautiful-looking art that's very expressive, very emotive. It's just a very emotional book. We see Supergirl, Kara. We see her torn. The scene where Cal's trying to talk her out of it, and you see her nearly her resolve nearly fade. Right? She almost accepts it. She's right there on the cusp, but then stands firm. No, I have to do this. Later in the book, when we see Crypto show up, how thankful and touched she is that Superman would send Crypto to accompany her on this mission. Again, the art is spectacular, shows so much emotion, and I look forward to this book and this art continuing to be just so in sync with each other. Beyond that, the art is great in detail, and you know, Kevin Maguire, he's a living legend in my mind. He uses fairly traditional panels on the page, you know, mostly rectangle or square, not too many insets, but he does vary it up a little here and there with some square insets. It certainly is never boring, and he's a master of moving the camera around and giving us different looks, different angles, especially when characters are talking and things can tend to get boring. He's always expressive. You know, I think that when it comes to facial expressions, he's at the top of the field. I think a lot of people would agree with that. So there's no doubt that his art is spectacular. And I talked about this when we covered Supergirl, not in, obviously to this degree, in the New Comics Wednesday episode that it came out. And I talked about the fact that his art is a little less detailed than I've seen it be in the past. It's a little cleaner. And I have a feeling that may be due to the inker that he's teamed up with here, Sean Parsons. And if that's the case, I said it then, I'll say it again. He should always team up with Sean Parsons. Parsons knows exactly how to get the best out of Maguire's pencils. No extraneous lines, and just very beautiful, very clean, very sleek. And again, the storytelling, the transitions from panel to panel, it's so clear that Maguire's a master of storytelling. It's absolutely great. And you pair him up with, you pair the art team up with Mark Andreyko, who for some reason, I've talked to Mark about this before, he draws female characters so well. He doesn't like to say, to be like pigeonholed, to always draw female characters. He likes to draw, write female characters. He likes to write, superheroes. He's just a great writer. But for some reason, he's able to tap in so realistically to emotion. And right or wrong, I think a lot of us, we equate emotion more with female characters. We feel like female characters show their emotion more. I think it's just a cultural thing. It is changing, of course, but when you think of characters like Batman, always stoic and things like that. Obviously, there's not a lot of emotion. So, and Draco is so good at that I think naturally he's written a lot of great stories that are female centric. But again, I don't think that's not a knock on him. I love the way he handles Superman, the way he writes Superman in this issue and Green Lantern as well. So I'm not saying he can only write female characters, but he does write female characters really, really well. And this story and the emotion wrapped up around it, it makes logical sense, the story that he's telling, right? Like female, male, whatever, doesn't matter. If your planet's destroyed and you find out that maybe there's some truth out there, people who haven't been brought to justice for it, that's an emotional story. That's a story that's charged up with a lot of rage and anger and sadness and desire for vengeance and justice, like all those things. It's very emotional, and it's a range of emotions. It's complex. So I think that Andreyko's a perfect writer to handle that, because he does handle those kind of complicated emotions that his characters are experiencing very, very well. So when I saw Mark at San Diego Comic-Con, I told him how excited I was for this story to start, how much I was looking forward to it. In no way could I have been prepared for how much I enjoyed it. It was so good. It was so far beyond what I expected. I mean, it sounded like an interesting concept, not necessarily an original idea, right? A hero finds out that some tragedy in their past, that there's more to it than meets the eye or they originally thought, and they go out in search of the truth, right? That's a story that's been told numerous times. And as I said, a lot of my excitement had to do with, oh, I'm going to get to see these new costumes of Supergirl, and she's going to kind of go on this journey, and it's going to be good. I just wasn't prepared for like the impact, the emotional impact on Superman and Supergirl, and the way that's driving her forward. It's just incredible. And I know I mentioned quite a bit about the art team already, but I do want to say that FCO Plasencia does a great job with the colors as well. Being that it's a Superman book, or Superman family book, the colors tend to be very primary. It is a superhero comic, right? So I appreciate that he's keeping it fairly bright, because it does help to bridge the gap between being such an emotionally charged story, and it'd be easy to go really dark, and that would kind of bring out the negative of what Supergirl is doing. But instead, he keeps it pretty light and bright as far as the colors go. And so that helps bridge the gap between telling such a dark, emotionally charged story and the fact that it is a Superman book. It is a Superman family book. It is very much a superhero book. So great job by him, particularly the Green Lantern pages. I really enjoyed the page with the Royal Flush Gang. It's almost like there's a green filter over the whole page as as Hal is kind of shackling the Royal Flush Gang, which would make sense, from the glow from the ring. It's very well done. So really looking forward to more of this story. I can't wait to find out what happens next, and I can't wait to see Supergirl's progression through those different costumes that we've seen. I'm not sure who designed them. I want to say it's Terry Dodson who designed those costumes. I think that's the case, but it may be McGuire. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to find that out and let you guys know the next time I do one of these Supergirl, cover one of these Supergirl issues on a Superman Sunday. But yeah, the cover, absolutely amazing. Really, really great. So anyway, I want to thank you all for joining me as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.